praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads and go before the Lord in prayer before we approach his word. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that, Lord, we're not serving a God of our imagination. We're not praying to a dead idol. Lord, we know we serve a living God. Lord, and we know, Lord, that you are in us today. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you will come, Lord, and just speak to us, Lord, sweetly from your word, Lord. Lord, just bless the people, I pray, dear God, and strengthen them. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to turn to Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to continue on from where we left off last Sunday, and we're still talking about what was the Holy Ghost given for. This may seem like a strange scripture to start off with, but nevertheless, this is where the Lord took me. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man, which was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I believe with that scripture reading on our subject text, I should have your attention now. Sometimes it seems strange the way the Lord will lead you through the Word, but it's always to help our understanding. What I want to look at on this is that there's several things I can draw from this. One, this is speaking about being unequally yoked is part of the scripture. And I could say to those there's young individuals here that are not married, then I say to you, you need to seek God in prayer, looking for who that right mate is. And don't think that you can marry someone of the world and convert them. I know there are those sitting here, their marriage, their union came together outside of the truth, but it was God in his divine plan making sure that that happened. And then you see them come to the truth. And the Bible does talk about sometimes a wife being saved, the husband not, and the wife being a witness unto the husband, which would bring the husband in. It also, Brother Branham speaks about in the message about a husband and about bringing the wife in. And Brother Branham, one of the key things that Brother Branham talks about is love. He was asked a man that was trying to force his wife. And Brother Branham said, no, you're going about it wrong, brother. He said, go buy her a box of candy and I believe with some flowers, and said, and go and just show her love. And he did that, and she came to the truth. And so that all falls within the grace of God. Amen. But if you're sitting here under the sound of my voice this morning, then the grace of God to you is seek God in everything you do. Seek the Lord before you make a decision on getting married. And don't go out and seek a mate of the world thinking you're going to convert them. If you are serving God today, young person, someone that's not wed, if you're serving God today, then I tell you this, God's divine plan would be that God doesn't need you to help convert his own. You understand? If they belong to God and they're a seed of God, God will bring them in without your help. And you can wait until he does it. It'll save you a lot of headache and heartache. And me too. But so the Lord then said, my spirit. Now we know that his spirit is the Holy Spirit. It is also the same spirit that Jesus had. And it's the same spirit that we spoke about last Sunday that he said, I will send a comforter for you. And how that comforter, that spirit of God, was to be an inner teacher, someone to teach us. But not only that, someone to be able to help us through the tests and trials that we go through. He gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us divine strength needed to enable us to undergo the trials and persecutions. Divine strength. I'll tell you this, when you're going through trials, you need some divine strength. Because depending on your own strength, it's going to run out. It will run out. And I don't care how strong of a person and your personality seems to be, there's a trial that can go on long enough that you'll run out of your own strength, and then you'll know that you need the strength from the Lord to keep going. And you need the Holy Ghost, because I'll tell you, in those times is when Satan will come and try to talk to you and try to get you to doubt. He'll try to get you to and you know, he may not try to get you to doubt that what God can do, but doubt that he will do it for you. Amen. Now, it says here, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Was only evil continually. We know throughout the Holy Scriptures that God will not contend and put up with evil. He won't put up with darkness. You can't serve light and darkness at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. God will not, God doesn't put up with unrighteousness. Amen. But he sent something that was to help us, because we are men. One thing I hope I can get to today is to tell you this. If you think God sent you the Holy Ghost so you could be perfect, I got news for you. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it doesn't make you perfect. Because your flesh doesn't get it. This old rotten, stinking house we live in is dying every day. It doesn't get the Holy Ghost. If this, now listen to me, if this flesh got the Holy Ghost, then that would make the Word of God not true. Because this flesh is not eternal, but he that hath his Spirit cannot die. Now, our spirit doesn't get it. Our spirit realm. If our spirit realm, and let me go back to this and just catch something that I'd said last Sunday. I know when Brother Branham preached the message of greatest battle ever fought, that when he talked about the triune being that we are, that Brother Branham placed the spirit as the innermost part and then the soul and then the flesh. And that's the way he preached it. And what he preached, you can still apply that today. But if you look after the seals were open, Brother Branham took and he placed the soul as the innermost part, and then the spirit of man, and then the flesh of man. Now, as placing that soul as the innermost part, then Brother Branham taught about the nature that was in the soul and how there needed to be a change of the nature. We're born in sin, came into this world speaking lies. Now, I ask that if what I just said, you don't see that clearly, don't let that cloud up your mind while we go through the rest of this message. Amen. But there's five gates. We can agree on that. There's five gates. Those gates don't get the Holy Ghost. Right? Your imagination doesn't get it. Your reasoning, your conscience, your affections. My. What did I forget? Memory. Well, I can tell you one thing. Your memory sure don't get it. Because I can remember all the evil that I done. Not only that, I can remember how some of the evil tasted. And in my memory, it ain't bad. I don't mean to stumble you in this. I hope I don't. I'm just trying to explain something to you. But when I was backslid and not serving the Lord, and I was stationed over in Germany, everywhere you go, if you say, well, I won't go into a restaurant that serves beer, I won't go into a marketplace that sells beer, you're going to be starving to death in Germany, because every place, including McDonald's, serves it. That's Germany. That's just how Germany is. And while I was there, I tasted the German beer. And I'll tell you something, friends, they know how to make it. And I can yet today still remember the way it tasted. And I'll tell you what, to my taste buds, it's like Coca-Cola. I liked it. Amen. Now, the evil that it brings, that I can't contend with. Amen? I hope I'm not stumbling anybody today. Because what I'm talking about is my memory. My memory remembers all of that. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a while. Your memory will remind you of that pleasure. So it didn't get the Holy Ghost. Your reasoning of your mind doesn't always coincide with what God's doing. Many times God's doing things and we look at it and it's puzzling to us. We think it ought to be one way that seems reasonable and clear to us, and God's plan doesn't seem to be going according to our reasoning or how we think it should be. We might be praying to the Lord for a situation to be resolved. We might be praying to the Lord for a deliverance to come, and when it doesn't seem to be coming the way we think, or even praying to God for healing. And our reasoning will tell us that, well, we know God's able, that he ought to, you know, how we are, we want it just to go away right now. Brother Branham, when he was preaching about divine healing, he wanted to make a clear understanding between divine healing and a miracle. And in divine healing, as he taught it, he says, you'll be prayed for, and then you'll get worse. You'll feel worse. He said, why? Especially when he talked about people having cancer and having a growth. He said, because the spirit's been cast out of that, now those cells are dying. And he says, and it'll make you feel more sick. Divine healing. Friends, you know, a lot of us want healing that doesn't involve surgery. And yet, I can show you in the message where Brother Branham talking to one individual, he prayed for them and said if they'd went and had the surgery, said they'd have died. And he prayed for them and they were healed. Then there was another individual he prayed for and said, you would not have made it through that surgery without this prayer. And they had to go have surgery. So here's the thing. If them two individuals would have been depending on their own reasoning whether they should have surgery or not, the one would have died and the other one probably wouldn't even have had surgery to begin with and would still have been in the same shape. So we can't depend on our reasoning to decide how God should go about healing us. I have said this many times when given testimony of how God healed me of my back trouble, that here I had to go in for my third surgery, and talking to an orthopedic surgeon, he said, I can set this where it should be. I can put it in place. He said, but it'll take God to heal it and make the bone, that bone graft they put in there, grow and bond together. When he said that, I told my wife, we got the right doctor, the right surgeon. I said, I'm not worried. I know we got the right surgeon. And if I went in and a surgeon was to tell me, well, he didn't even believe in God, I'd be looking for another surgeon. Huh? Well, that's just me, I'm telling you. But the thing is, our reasoning is not to tell us how God's going to do it. You say, well, how will I know? I'll tell you this. If you pray about it, you will end up knowing. If you sincerely go before God asking him for his leadership, there will be a peace come on you about what you should do. Now, will God test you on as far as fear is concerned? If you seem to be an individual who just has a lot of fear, I can tell you that one of the ways you're going to be tested is in the things that you fear. Why? Well, many talk about anesthesia and things like that. Well, if you fear that, then you can't fear that and at the same time trust God that he'll take you through it. That's where you got to put your trust. Your trust isn't in the anesthesiologist, although, believe me, you want a good one. I suffer from sleep apnea, and I have to use a breathing machine to breathe at night. I don't know why it is, but I do. When I went in for the last time I'd went in for surgery, I think it was on my foot, and the anesthesiologist, you know, knew I had apnea, so he wanted to make sure that I wouldn't stop breathing while they put me out. I was worried he wasn't going to put me out. because one of his assistants said, we'll put you out, but not all the way out. You'll kind of know what's going on. I told the head NCO, I don't want to know what is going on. It's your job to keep me breathing. But I don't want to know it, and I don't want to see it. I wouldn't say necessarily I'm afraid of needles and that. I've had plenty of shots and everything else in my life and that. But when they draw blood, I don't watch them. When they're going to stick me with a needle, I don't sit there and watch them stick me. Some people could do that. I'm afraid if I watched it, I'd jerk about the time they got that thing up there. That was talking about our reasoning. Let's move on. We've stayed on reasoning a long time. Your affection doesn't get the Holy Ghost. Our earthly affection is filial love. If we lean on our filial love to try to help save our loved ones, we're failing them. Our filial love will enable them to do what, to continue to do what is wrong. I believe that we ought to talk to our young people when they start becoming of age. We ought to start talking to them and say, now look, you need to be listening to these services about the Holy Ghost. You need to have the Holy Ghost. It'll help you through school. It will. Because there's many influences out there. But we've got many examples. We've got examples right here of young people that have dedicated their heart to God at a young age. And you can see they didn't go the way of the world. Now, I know there's some of us at some point we went that way. And our lives at this point happens to be a testimony of the grace of God that brought us back. But also the grace of God is there that there will be some, like the offspring of the children of Israel, that will go in free of doubt. Amen. Won't have to go. Look, God's got testimonies everywhere, meaning that no one will be of any excuse of why they couldn't surrender to the Lord. Well, Lord, I was divorced. And there'll be divorced people that will be there, sitting there, that made it through by the grace of God. That's just one example I can give you, but God's grace expands that there are so many different examples. There will be no excuse on that day for why you couldn't serve God. Amen. Now, it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I looked at that verse of scripture, and I'll tell you here, when I was reading it, studying this, I looked at it and I thought, I get why he repented that he had made man. I get it. But why did he repent that he made the beasts and the creeping things and the fowls of the air? It gets you to look at a whole lot differently of God's plan when he spoke to Noah and said, bring two of everything into the ark. Of all the beasts, of all the creeping things, of the fowl of the air, so bring two of each kind into the ark. Something wasn't right with the animal kingdom. Amen? What wasn't right? The animal kingdom had been affected by the fall of man. Because the animal kingdom at one time was under man's control. But it had been affected by the fall of man. And so God brought two of every kind, and they had to live in the ark, one with the other, and with man. And man had to be able to take care of them without afraid one of them was going to eat him. It had to be that way to speak of a type. It was a type. It was a of what? It was a type of the way beast and creeping things and foul the air will be when there's a new heaven and new earth. Amen. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it because he said the lion will lay down with the lamb. The beast will be led by a little child. Amen. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why do you believe Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Was Noah perfect? No. The prophet of God said Noah was a farmer. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. He was man just like human flesh, just like all other human flesh. But there must have been something in Noah that God saw. Noah wasn't partaking of the evil. But Noah couldn't make it without God's grace. It wasn't Noah's grace that God saw, but Noah found grace. Grace was given unto Noah. Hallelujah. My spirit shall not always strive with man. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Turn with me to John chapter 17. I spent a whole lot of time on that. I was studying, and page 2 became page 4 from last week. John chapter 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. The Holy Spirit isn't given to take us out of the world. It's given to keep us from the evil of the world. Amen? There was a time when there were people, and it may still be, that believed once they received the Holy Ghost, then they were no longer, did they have to worry about being tempted. No longer did they have to worry about sin. They were to be perfect. And I'll tell you something, friends, as a young man growing up, young boy growing up, and that being preached in such a way like that, it stumbled me so greatly, I thought, I'll never be able to be that. I'll never be able to be that. I can remember as a young man when I had left home, I was sitting under ministry that preached it in such a way. And I'll tell you what, friends, every Sunday night, I was at the altar every Sunday night. I wasn't the only one. That altar would get packed and filled every Sunday night. Why? Because of the way things were being taught. I felt like every Sunday night I needed to get saved. I didn't think of it necessarily in those terms at that point, but that's, looking back, that's how I felt. I was seeking the Holy Ghost every Sunday night. Why? Because I wasn't able to be perfect over the last week. I constantly felt like I was in sin. I constantly felt like I was wrong. And I thought, I'll never be able to get it. And you say, what kept you going to church? I was searching for something. There was something in me that longed for it. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to go to heaven. And I'm not a quitter. Say, did you ever backslide? Yeah, I did, but I just couldn't quit. I could not quit on God. I always came back. There was something that only would allow me to go so far, and then I'd be pulled back. Hallelujah. Of course, Satan always said I went too far. I was beyond the grace of God. Well, as I said, your reasoning didn't get the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham was asked a question by someone one time, said, how do you know whether you went too far? And Brother Branham said, do you still feel that pull from the Lord? They said, yes. He said, then you haven't went too far. Someone tell me, well, I haven't felt that pull in a long time. Well, I'll tell you what, let's pray together and get into the presence of the Lord. Because, friends, listen, if you're fellowshipping with darkness, yes, I'm sure you'll be able to say, I ain't felt that pull in a long time. But let's bring you into the presence of Almighty God and see if you find it's different, that all of a sudden that's awakened in you. Look, if it's not there, it's like that girl that told Brother Branham, when he told her, said, tonight's your night, you remember that? He said, tonight's your night, and she got all huffy about it and said, I have you to know my daddy's, I think, was a deacon or something like that, and he said, this is your last chance. And she, you know, just, well, about that? Well, then he saw her sometime later, and she said, you were right. You were right that night. That was my last chance. She said, now, and that she was living in sin, no longer in church. And she said, now, trying to describe in her own words, she said, I could see my mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and laugh about it. Her trying to describe where she had come to and recognizing that. I pray not thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Wow. He not only said, I ask not you take them out of the world, but he said, I've sent them into the world. For what? That your lives would be the living word. So that this world will be without excuse, because they have saw the word manifested and living amongst them. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me have I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, he speaks here, two things I want you to draw from this scripture is, he didn't take us out of the world. Our flesh constantly contends with the world. The pull of the world on our flesh doesn't let up. Satan will try to work on your imagination and then turn around and condemn you for what he put in there. That's the way he works. Now, it doesn't affect everybody in the same way. In other words, it ain't the same. Satan doesn't use the same thing on everybody. Brother Ram says he studies you to find where your weakness is. And that's where he attacks you. Now, there may be some men that he attacks them in their imagination with women. There may be some women he attacks them in their imagination with men. There may be some of you that he attacks in your imagination working on your fear to imagine catastrophes in your life. To imagine what's going to happen to you. He may work on your imagination because he knows where your weakness is. He is perhaps maybe in not thinking anybody cares about you or loves you. So he'll get you to imagine things. Well, so-and-so doesn't like me anymore. The sisters treat me different. And it's in your imagination. I'm often reminded of that song about excuses and the one woman said about the preacher says, didn't even shake my hand. Look, if I miss you and don't get to shake your hand, it ain't because all of a sudden I don't care about you or don't love you. It just happens sometimes because we're human. I try to, if someone wants to talk to me, I try to have them wait till after I got a chance to shake hands with everybody, but it doesn't always work. And I try to, even when somebody, I'm standing back there and somebody else is talking to me, I try to still shake hands. But look, don't depend on my handshake as far as whether I care about you or not. You say, how do I know you care about me? Because I put time into this. I put time into the Word of God. Why? For you. I take this very seriously. I believe these teachings about the Holy Ghost, the teachings about the Holy Ghost, I have looked on this once the Lord laid this on my heart, and to me, this is something that's very serious, and I can't just hand out something. You know, just to give you something, I can't just say, well, I got to fill in for this Sunday. I got to preach, so I'll just say this or that. I know that the people told me from last Sunday, some of them are sitting there with anticipation waiting for their questions that they have on us to be answered. Well, I'm a man. I couldn't answer them. But I know God can. And that's why I take this very seriously, knowing that there's those waiting on the answer. So we covered not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. We'll get a little bit more on that, but before we leave this scripture, verse 23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now, there's that word perfect that pops up. Now, that word perfect there is not meaning that you were free from mistakes. Here, the word perfect has been used to that we are complete in one. We become complete when that old nature has died and we receive the Spirit of God. We become complete. Now, are we a perfected individual? No, because our flesh is not a glorified flesh. When will we be made perfect in that sense, in that way? Those that are dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we will be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. When we're changed, that's when you'll be perfect. Amen. That's when you'll be without fault. That's the masterpiece that God sees and has in his mind. That's the picture he took of you before the foundation of the world and what you're going to come to. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I just want to catch something here, and I'm trying to watch the time because I know I can't squeeze everything I got up here into this one service, and so we're just looking to the Lord for a place where we can stop. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings or the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I have had that scripture. I've talked to individuals and said, I've talked to preachers and said, look, he knows what we're going through. He's tested in everything. He was tested in everything that man is tested in. Now, it's hard sometimes for individuals to accept that. For instance, could he be our help if, say, he had never been tested with women? I've said that before, and I'll tell you what, got some of the funniest looks individuals I was talking to. How could he help someone in that area? They said, well, he can help because, hold on, this is what the scripture says. And they'll always say to me, yet without sin. In other words, saying that, I look at it and say, well, are you saying that we can do it without sin? Because if you are, then there's some scriptures you're going to have to rip out of your Bible and throw away. He did it without sin because he had to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He could not have been the perfect sacrifice and took our sins upon him unless he had been without sin. Remember, the Bible says they looked all through heaven and all through earth to find one that was worthy to take the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne, and said they could find no one worthy. We're looking for somebody worthy. And John, the Bible says, began to weep. And then the voice said to him, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And John looked, and he saw a lamb as if it had been slain. An innocent lamb the Lamb of God. Now, what John was seeing, you see, John was seeing everything in types and describing that of what he saw. You say, did John actually see the Lord Jesus at that point as he had been slain? I don't know exactly what he saw. I just know what he described. And we know who the Lamb of God was. There was a prophet in the Bible that described about Israel being carried home on eagle's wings. What he saw, we can see now when it happened that there were these Jews that were going to be going back to Israel, and they didn't want to get on this airplane. And one of their rabbis read to them that passage from the Old Testament, and they all went and got on the plane. The prophet looked, and he saw an airplane. How was he to describe it? There wasn't nothing that existed in his world. So he described it as eagle's wings. Why? Why did he pick an eagle? Because the eagle can fly higher than any other bird. In the Bible, it speaks about horseless chariots. What do you imagine the prophet saw? Could he have saw the automobile? And I'm not talking about the 2016 automobile. I'm talking about the early ones that actually looked pretty much like a chariot. maybe he saw the Ford's first car put out. I don't know. But he called it a horseless chariot. Amen. My. It says, yet without sin, let me finish this and we'll go on to the next scripture. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So, if we were perfect and without sin, we'd have no need of mercy and we'd have no need of grace to help us. If we were perfect and without sin, what need of him would we have? Because he was sent as an advocate. What need would we have for an advocate? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go on. John, 1 John chapter 2. I may just briefly cover this and then just come back to it next Sunday. Chapter 2, verse 1 of 1 John. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is propitiation for our sins. How do you take that scripture, even the very first verse, how does that even make sense? I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, you've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Now, he couldn't just be the propitiation for our sins alone. It had to be also for the sins of the world. Why? So that he could be a just judge. Because there is coming a day of judgment, a day of reckoning. And for him to be just, everyone must be given the same opportunity. Then it comes down to them making a choice whether they will accept it or reject it. Now, there are those that you would ask them, do you reject him saving you from your sins? Do you reject him as a perpetuating? No. But they're not accepting him if they won't come to the word. Now, I realize there's going to be some that are going to be saved that weren't part of the bride. That's the truth. But they're not part of the bride. And they accepted him as a propitiation for their sin. Amen? But I'll tell you this, it won't be anybody that knew this truth and walked away from it to make their own way according to their own thoughts. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I say to you in this day, if you believe the prophet, you'll live what he preached. Huh? If you believe him, you'll live what he preached. Hallelujah. Not live what your perception of what he preached is. And I'll tell you this. You know, I know we don't. To any one man here on earth to be our headquarters or who we get our orders from or whatever and all that. But I'll tell you this, friends. Even though I pastor a church here, I got somebody that I call my pastor, and it was the pastor that led me to God. It was the pastor who helped me and taught me in the ministry. It happens to be my dad. And I still have confidence. Now, I don't mean he's the pastor of this church. But I got a spiritual walk that's separate from this church. That's separate from the gift God placed in my life as a pastor. I got a spiritual walk just like you do. Hallelujah. Now that's just me. That's the way I see it. But I know that I get my leadership from the Lord. Amen. But my point is this. Brother Branham preached about the fivefold ministry. He didn't do away with the fivefold ministry. And I'm going to tell you this. If you go to form or start something without there being a leadership that God's placed there, it won't last. It won't last. Why? Because sooner or later, they're going to be wondering who is the leader in this. And everybody's going to want to take the lead. And it won't last. Before you know it, have a falling out. You look, friends, I know this church, when I came to it, y'all didn't have a pastor. But the thing was, you were seeking and asking God for a pastor. And then being human as we are, there were those begin to think, because it wasn't happening, they begin to think, well, maybe it ain't meant to be. Maybe I need to look for somewhere else to go where there is a pastor. See the desire of the heart? That was the desire of the heart was to be under a pastor. Amen. Whew. Oh, if you can't come under the headship of pastors that God has placed, then I can tell you this, what you're really rejecting is not the man. You're rejecting the headship of Jesus Christ. Because he has to have someone here on earth that he can administer that his headship through. And that individual, those true pastors, friends, they're not going to be somebody that's lifted up and lifts themselves up before the people, that the people become beholden to them. But what they're going to lift up is Christ.
Amen.
I've seen men who did put themselves in such a place over the congregation, and they would say they were doing it to protect them. And they would tell you, now don't go out and fellowship in these, with these other churches. Don't you go over here or there to their meetings. And there'd be some of them, they'd go look, attend the meeting. But it was so they could come back and tell their people, I went and I'll tell you, this is where they're off. Like they're the only church. Look, I know that God didn't make me to pastor everybody. But just because they won't accept me as a pastor didn't mean God didn't send me as their pastor. Say, where do you get that from? Well, Brother Branham said that Elijah was Jezebel's pastor, even though she didn't want to accept him. And she didn't like the truth he's preaching and did not want to come under that headship. Matter of fact, she wanted to take his head off. But he showed her who was in headship, because it was God moved on him to take the heads off of those 400 prophets she had. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I done went too long. Let me just finish this scripture. I'm not saying finish it, we won't have to come back to it, but just let me finish reading it and we'll close. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his, look, may I add this? Those that say they believe Brother Branham, but won't come subject to the word he preached, are liars. And the truth is not in them.
Amen.
But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now, he talked about us being perfected in one, Jesus did in John 17. Here, John is saying that the love of God is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. I didn't have verse 7 down here, so I wanted to turn to it. Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You cannot say, I'm of God, and hate your brother. If you love your brother, you won't find any stumbling. Because you'll know that your brother, your sister, they're not perfect, and neither are you. I'll tell you what, friends, I gave this testimony years ago, before I even came here, and said, when God really got to dealing with my life, and God had to deal with my pride. And I'll tell you what, God knocked me down so far that this is the way I felt in my words. I had to look up just to see dirt. He'll humble you. And when I saw how the grace of God, now he extended grace to me, friends, where in my reasoning, it would have been beyond him extending the grace. But he humbled me in such a way that I had to receive his grace, because there was no other way I could make it. And when I saw what the grace of God would do for me, I know what the grace of God could do for anybody. Amen. I'll stop there because I've already went longer than I had wanted to. And we'll just close there. I got some good things laying here. We're going to continue. We're going to go back. We was there in chapter 2 of 1 John. We're going to jump back next Sunday from there back into the verse preceding that in chapter 1. And then tie in something that John says in chapter 3. And then we're going to go on to something that John the Baptist said. And I pray, I'm seeking the Lord in this, because friends, I know there's different ones that come to me and said that they had questions, and I want to know that you're getting answers from him. I don't want to take that lightly. I'm not here to give you my opinion, because my opinion isn't going to help you. If you trusted in my opinion, it'd run out. Because you'd see where my opinion, we don't go on people's opinions. We don't go on preachers' opinions. Amen? Hallelujah. I have had opinions concerning different things in the Word of God, and concerning different things. I'll tell you one, I had a strong opinion concerning the foolish virgin. And finally, not being able to reconcile everything, I went before the Lord and prayed. I said, Lord, if it's just my spirit being stubborn, that's why I'm not seeing it, then Lord, I'm sorry. And I repent of that stubbornness and ask for you to show me. And the Lord opened my eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Brother Nathaniel, if you come, brother. Amen. You say praise the Lord this morning. Amen. There's many questions I had about this over the years, and it was through the grace of God and studying, and sometimes just, I remember one time I picked up a message. I was visiting someone down in Florida, and I went to go use the restroom, and they had a book laying in there, a spoken word book. Well, that's what I call them. I'm sorry. That's what I remember them by. But they had a book in there, and it caught my attention. I picked it up, and then I went and asked him, "Can I borrow this?" He said, "You can have it." It was Brother Brown down there in Florida. And so I read that, and I'll tell you what, there was things I've been praying and asking God about, and it was just answered right there in that message. And so God's here. God can answer our questions. Amen. He wants to. Amen. God bless you.
He's got it all in control.
He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all.
Assurance.
me.